Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I mean, for the terrible rules that they are.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, we are not, we're not buying them for the rules.
You're not going to be playing any first edition, or whatever, second edition Fantasy 40K. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that book had the rules where you could bring Space Marines into Fantasy, right? Or like guns.
They were the same game.
Yeah, it was the same game. A terrible game, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Hey, everybody, welcome to Game Poopy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
Steve pooped a small country this morning.
I did.
Yes, that's what he told me. I gagged a little bit. It's okay.
Gagged? Do you mean you were uncontrollably aroused?
Well, it's one of the same.
Yes.
For my penis goes into my mouth and gags me.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because it just loops back.
Yeah, it checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, you remember how you saw that story about the? Did you watch the Andre the Giant documentary?
I did. I love it.
You know that the one where he's talking about the 16-second fart.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that.
I love the one fucking Jerry Lawler's like, I don't remember. One of them was just like, and they were thunderous,
thunderous. Jerry the King Lawler. Let's show him some respect.
Yeah, I think it was the King Lawler, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, 16 seconds is like one of those like. It's too specific of a time
to be an exaggeration. Exactly what it was.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like no one's going to start timing a fart at the beginning of the fart unless they're like, wait a second. This is like Andre the Giant. He does like these incredibly long farts. Next time he does it, let's time it.
Yeah.
So they set up like a stopwatch or they just started counting. But if this was a one off thing and he just like did the 16-second fart, there's no way they could have timed it to 16 seconds. That's all I'm saying is that I don't follow the logic in all of this.
I'm going to say that that's because he is so well known as farting. This is someone who probably had timed his farts before.
They were like, wait, it begins.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Because it's a long ass time to fart. Let me tell you that. I'd be bored halfway through that fart.
It's an impressive fart.
Yes. So Steve, let's go into some of the big news for this week. The last two war bands.
Really big news.
For Shadespire were released. Of the known war bands were released.
Yes, the Farstriders and Magori.
And Steve picked up both of them.
Of course.
And you're using Magor right now?
No, I'm still using Garrett Gorebeard and the Corn Reavers. I'm still using the first Corn Warband. I never used anyone else.
I like how you're like Garrett Gorebeard and the Corn Reavers. It's just like
it's a band.
Yeah, it sounds like a band. Like Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
They're a prog rock band for sure.
You think?
Yeah. Garrett Gorebeard and the Corn Reavers. Yeah, they're a prog rock band.
I want to say
they're like
I would say they're more like Gwar in some ways. Like they sound like almost like a Gwar tribute band.
They're a Gwar prog rock band.
Ooh.
So they look like Gwar,
but they play prog rock music.
Exactly.
I would be so into that, by the way. I know you're not a huge prog rock fan. But
I like some prog rock.
You're a big fan of Asia?
I like Roundabout.
Roundabout.
Really, really good song.
You're going to listen to some, who's that guy, Rick Wakeman? You're going to listen to some Rick Wakeman piano music?
I don't know who Rick Wakeman is.
I believe he was the pianist for the band Yes. I want to say.
Pianist.
But he released a shit ton of, like, themed piano albums that were all, like, fantasy sci-fi themed in the 1970s and 80s. So he did an entire Lord of the Rings album.
That's cool.
That was all, piano music inspired by Lord of the Rings. He also did a King Arthur one that I own. I own both the King Arthur and the Lord of the Rings one. But he did a couple of them, and it's really kind of they're not the great to listen to. But if you're if you're like a Tolkien fan, I would give it, you know, just give it a listen. It's worth doing once. There's a lot of those weird 70s and 80s Tolkien albums that came out. I can't think of all of them, but there's like I can at least think of three or four that were Tolkien-inspired rock and roll or symphonic albums.
I only really know about Zeppelin doing Tolkien stuff, and I hate Led Zeppelin, so.
Well, they didn't even. Well, I mean, they just named some of their songs after Zeppelin stuff, but it wasn't really Zeppelin-esque. Mm. How can you hate Led Zeppelin? They recorded an album in the same house as Aleister Crowley.
I don't like them.
Mr. Crowley.
I like that song.
Well, it's not Led Zeppelin.
Well, I know.
So, yes.
Yeah, Led Zeppelin, I think, are one of the few bands where I'm just like, I fucking hate that band. And, like, they don't have any song I like. Usually, like, because, like, I don't like Yes. But I really like Roundabout. I think that song's great. So, oh, and the other one. The one about the queen has captured your queen to use. Do, 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 that up.
Oh, God. Who the fuck did that?
It's Yes.
Was it Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I like those two songs.
I'm not a huge Yes fan in general.
Yeah, it's the same. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Yes, but I like those songs a lot.
When record collecting, the number one, the best of Yes is one of those albums that you see everywhere, along with the best of Bread. There's a...
The band called Bread?
There's a band called Bread. They, I think they did the song America.
Does that anything go like the Africa? I saw the rains down in America.
No. I hate that song. Africa by Toto.
Yeah, it's a bad song.
Ooh. I know, especially because Rosanna is such a better song by Toto.
I don't know anything
Rosanna,
about Toto. I just know that
Rosanna.
Song.
Rosanna. Wait,
I'm gonna pull for the memes.
The memes? Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah. That's why I always blame memes. They never pick, like, the best music. They always pick, like, music that's... I mean, and when I buy that, I don't actually mean, like, the best music.
This is Rosanna. Welcome to Easy Listening Classy. I'm your host, Easy Jim. And this is my co-host, Easy Bill.
Rosanna, Rosanna. You three just heard the fist pumping?
I've never heard this song before.
Rosanna! How have you never heard this song before?
I'm not a fan.
You upset me.
Sorry.
I actually wanted to name my daughter Penny Rosanna, but my wife would not allow it because it rhymes with my last name. So they would. she was like, no. And my wife's name is Diana, and she already is pissed off enough about the fact that our names rhyme. So that's part of the reason. But I love the name Rosanna, and it's like she was like, no, and I'm like, come on, it's a fantastic song, and all.
It's a great, it's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl
or a girl.
It's your seven,
yeah, seven. I had a couple names like that, and actually we ended up with Penelope just because it was far enough away from a rhyming name that she was okay with it. But yeah, I was a big fan of Rosanna, and she's like, it's such an 80s name, Joe. It's such an 80s
name.
It is
an 80s name.
I love it. All right, so we had Magor and Farstriders. Have they changed the dynamics of the game so far?
Well,
give me a report on these two. Right. These two.
So as the internet tells it, Magor's fiends are the second coming of our Lord, and everyone's going to be playing them. And the Farstriders are the worst warband ever in the history of the game.
Even with the bird, they got a bird.
I was joking. It's the internet is. I'm being facetious. Like, people thought the dwarves were like super terrible too, but the dwarves have gone on to win some tournaments because the dwarves are actually pretty good. They're
the Dwarden.
They're just not brain dead.
Oh, the Fire Slayers.
Yeah.
The okay. So you're talking like actual like Shadespire.
All Shadespire.
Okay.
I can say that Magor's fiends are very good. They're very strong. They're all so. Basically, they're all about as good as Bright Shield from the Stormcast.
Yeah.
The girl with the shield. So, like, that's like
Angie.
You basically have an entire army of Bright Shields. And then Ooh. You have the dog, who is very strong. The dog does 3 damage on its flip side, which is really good for, like, the dog.
And they flip unit. By doing damage.
They flip by successfully attacking.
By successfully attacking. So, yeah. if you successfully. So, even if they defend against it, do you.
The attack action has to be successful, so they don't have to do damage if they do something that reduces the damage or whatever, but as long as the attack action is successful.
Okay.
So you have to hit.
So you have to hit, and if they defend, it is not successful.
Right.
Correct? Okay.
Right. And then they also, 2 cards got dropped with their set, one that they have, which is
Earthquake 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I believe Bloody Inspiration, okay. And then there's also Inspiration Strikes. So there are two ploys now for just because the one of them is Korn only, the Magor Korn only, where they just inspire a model.
Oh, that's
you
cool.
You just go like, inspire. So like, that's super good.
That's super good.
Yeah, with the dog, you're just like, I inspire the dog and charge. And then suddenly your dog's doing three, and if you have Twist the Knife or any of the other plus one damage, it's four damage, which kills just about everything in the game.
Yeah.
Insta-kill. Very strong.
Yeah. Yes,
very strong. There is an Earthquake 2.0. It's called Concussive Blast.
Ooh.
It's actually better than Earthquake, so I think like I would run it. Like if the choice was one or the other, I would run this instead of Earthquake. But Concussive Force is you pick one hex, and then every model on the field must be pushed away from that hex.
Oh, okay.
So if you pick one in the middle of the board, you push one side of the board one way and the other side of the board the other way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, very strong. And of course, if you pick a hex with a guy standing on it, he doesn't move. So like you can like the illustration is a Stormcast smash in the ground with a hammer. And I'm like, it's cool. But much like people thought Earthquake was the end all be all of the game, it's not. This card is also not the end all be all of the game. You know, they both punish objective decks pretty harshly, but objective decks can also simultaneously use them. So it's kind of like if you played Earthquake against me and I'm playing an objective deck and I'm like, oh no, I've been blown out, I can just be like, I play Earthquake and just undo your Earthquake. Like, just like I just push everyone back where they were.
Well, that sounds.
But yeah, they're both great. I think the Farstriders are really good. I think the Farstriders just are not anything. They're nothing like the currently released Stormcast, the base Stormcast. So I think people are very confused as to like what they're supposed to do with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just more interested in seeing where the next Warbands go.
What the next city is?
Yeah, if they do another city, are they gonna? I'm more interested in like, are they gonna retire?
They're doing another city.
Are they gonna retire certain cards? Are they gonna retire Warbands? Are they gonna?
Oh, you're talking format wise. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
That's the thing. So they should do an underwater city for the Idolith.
The rumor is that it's going to be
the Deepkin
City of Life. It's going to be cities in the tree.
City of Life.
So like it's going to be the base set's going to be Sylvaneth versus Nurgle.
Ooh,
that's just a rumor.
Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Sure.
Try to run. Try to hide.
Sure.
Okay, that's the Doors, just in case. I know you don't necessarily know.
I don't like the Doors.
Of course you don't like the Doors. What else are you going to listen to when you're fighting Charlie in the jungles of Vietnam, Steve? What else?
Fortunate Son? I don't know.
No. the funny thing about Fortunate Son is that Fortunate Son was not considered like a Vietnam song until...
movies?
Until Forrest Gump, 1992.
Really? Wasn't it in earlier Vietnam movies?
No, it wasn't. Like me and Kevin from Comic Book Logic, we actually had this conversation. I was like, I wonder when the first use of Fortunate Son in Vietnam like movies was.
There you go.
And we went back and back and back. It was used in a documentary in the late 80s.
Okay.
Right.
So guys, I wouldn't count that as a movie though. So
exactly. So the first time it was ever used in like pop culture was Forrest Gump, and I was like, Jesus, 92. That was a long ass time after the war. Mm. Yeah, because I was, I work in a military, a school with an ROTC program. So I was talking with one of the guys who actually served in Vietnam, and I was like, well, what did you guys actually listen to when you guys were over there? And he was like, it was all Motown. That's all we listened to, Motown. I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, granted, he is black, so, but, you know, people might have been listening to other stuff, but that's what he says everyone was listening to was Motown.
What about sitting on the top of the bay?
Wasting on the dock time? Of the bay?
Whatever. Wasting time.
That's Otis Redding, and yes.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide wash away.
I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay.
Wasting time.
Okay, so Shadespire stuff. Another thing I wanted to cover is the fact that people lose their goddamn minds when it comes to bases and miniatures. This is something
your ongoing quest?
My ongoing quest to just, like, destroy the gaming community from within by making everyone fight against each other about how to base their figures. So... to give a little bit,
I added in my own humble edition of Blackroom Bases.
You
only.
Did, and people got upset about that.
I think Blackroom Bases are the best. I don't think there's a better choice. I think any color always disrupts the flow of your model.
It's very true.
It's like if it's not if like someone said a like I think it was Rob said dark earth tones, and I was like, that's fine because it's the same principles behind black. It's like you don't want to look at the rim of the base.
Yeah. Rob is a consummate painter, so you can't really argue with him. I do agree with his points about round bases, but I'm also with you in that I'm just lazy and I don't feel like coming up with a color scheme for the base, so I'm just going to paint it black regardless. Black, you're never going to go wrong with black.
Exactly.
You could go wrong with other colors.
Yes. I've seen...
But you could also go right, but most of the time you go wrong.
I've seen some people do, like, I saw a really nicely painted Tyranid army, and the bases were, like, a pretty bright fuchsia, and I was like,
No.
But, like, the army was painted really well. I'm just like, you ruined it.
I know. It's like... Cliff does all of his Shadespire models, and he paints the rims the same color as the plastic.
I was like,
It's so... I mean, Cliff's paint jobs were great, but it's like those base rim colors.
All I could see, I was just like, red, blue. That's all I could see.
Yeah. That was a pretty nasty... So, like, Steve upset people. This all started when I've been working on my 30K army, right? Or 40K, whatever you want to call it. My son's a Horus. So I was like, I'm going to base my vehicles. Why? Well, no one ever bases their vehicles, and everything else is based in the army. So I had it in my case, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, the tanks don't look right not on the bases. Everything else is on bases. Why aren't the tanks on bases? Now you got to remember something. I don't paint 40K. This is the first 40K army I've done in 15 years since I left Games Workshop, and they forced me to paint a 40K army. And I think I did, like, the smallest requisite Space Marine. No, I did Grey Knights. The smallest requisite Grey Knight army I could do to get away with painting a 40K army. Because back in the day, they used to make you paint a 40... And you used to have a 40K army. A 40K...
You had to have everything.
A fantasy and a Lord of the Rings. And everyone hated the fact that they had to have a Lord of the Rings army.
The Lord of the Rings army would have been fine if they... So, that's one of those things where I look back at it and I'm like, man... The people running our company didn't even know how to play that game because they came up with the idea of, like, to get the staff more involved in Lord of the Rings. They were like, we're going to do a Lord of the Rings tournament. But not knowing anything about the games that they were selling, upper management was like, 2,000 points, team tournament. Each player gets 1,000 points. A 2,000 point game of Lord of the Rings is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
That is so big. It was like a 6,000 point game of fantasy. Like, it was fucking ridiculous. Like, and of course, everyone had a miserable time playing in the tournament because it was infinite.
Yeah.
And me and my partner dropped it for the first round. We were just like, all right, we played it. God, never again. Had we played an actual Lord of the Rings tournament that was appropriately sized, like 400 points.
Yeah.
I think everyone
400
would have
points a person.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I would have done. If it was two players, I would have done 200 points a person.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No question. Like, that game was like 500 points was like a solid size game. So
I guess.
So maybe I would, you know what? I would,
well, that's what I was saying about like
300 points a person.
Okay,
to 600 point side.
Okay.
I'd say that would be fine. Yeah. But like that would have been fun. People would have had a good time.
Yeah, I still would have made the giant Mumak with the giant Mumak penis coming out.
Yeah,
just like dragging on the ground, slathering over that Michael Perry figure that's sculpted onto the base. The Michael and Ellen Perry figures that are sculpted.
Would you use the art code on the Michael Perry?
Oh yeah. Like she just got drenched in Mumak semen.
Mumak pre.
Mumak cummies.
Welcome to Game Classy, the only podcast regarding games where we talk about Mumak pre.
Well, the classy is kind of in quotation marks.
I'm going to pre. I'm going to pre.
Did you see Putty from Seinfeld went to the Devil's game?
I did. We're the Devils.
The only time Steve was ever interested in sporting news.
Yeah, it was good.
Was that Putty was at the Devil's game. He had the makeup. The makeup
was the
exact
makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't half-ass that. That's what I was impressed with, was the fact that he didn't half-ass it. So, yeah,
the only question is, did he accost a bishop after the game and shout into his car going, we're the Devils.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I put my vehicles on bases, right? And so I put it up on the 40K painting page. The Horus Heresy painting page that they have. And that's like, you know, it's probably the biggest 30K page. A lot of really nice armies are on there. I like that page. I like painting pages where the people aren't scrubby, so to speak. Like, you go to, like, the standard Age of Sigmar page or the standard Warhammer page. You see some scrubby stuff. But this is like a lot of nice stuff. So I put it up there. People lost their goddamn minds about base tanks. I'm like, what? Well, granted, it was only like probably 3 to 4 people, but they still, they were like, I can't, you can't base a tank. You can't base a tank.
You based your tanks.
And I'm like, yeah, it's just, you know, it protects the bottom of the tank. It, you know, it kind of makes it flow better with the army. They're like,
I can only imagine their incredulous nerd rage.
And it's not like it takes up too much space, because it's not like the base is huge on the tank. It's relatively the same size as the tank.
There used to be guys who based their tanks in 40K, like back in the day.
I always based my bolt action tanks.
I mean, the
mainly because I bootlegged them, and I so the bottoms were like awful bootlegs.
Once again, the Rob Hawkins Strat was the superior one.
You can't make vroomy noises.
No, you have to model the bottom as a blown out base. So when your tank explodes, you flip it over and it's an exploded wreck. And I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. That's too hard for me. I don't want to. That's too much effort.
Just get in there with the Dremel, man. Just
no, that's too much effort. Too much effort. No, and so that just made me want to base my tanks harder.
Oh, of course,
like more.
Like put them on two bases.
Yeah, just put them on two bases. And the funny thing was that the guy was like, I think you went overboard on your bases. And I was like, yeah, because my bases have bases. And it's true. Like, my figures that had the bases were inside movement trays. And that was another thing. And the guy's like, movement trays in 40K? What is this? Are we in fantasy now?
Yeah, I'm like, we're lazy.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Movement trays on round bases is a perfectly acceptable thing. That company that I think you use them. I don't remember the name of it. But it's... I really, and they had that's some great stuff on there.
Yes. Okay. I can't remember the name of them either, but yeah, the ones I bought for my Age of Sigmar stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't have sealed circles. They're just a
shape. It's kind of like open. And
phenomenal.
I'm going to see if I can look up their name really quick, because I use them. Let's see. They'll probably be here. Let me take a look. Oh, I got pictures of all the shit I'm selling on eBay right now on here. Vamp, Steve, vamp.
UCC, Ushima Coffee Company Limited, was established in 1933 in Kobe, Japan, by founder Mr. Tadao Ushima, who developed the first canned coffee in the world. We keep challenging cup to seed spirit, doing all we can with coffee. Do not shake. Contents under pressure. Use caution when opening. Ingredient settling may occur and does not impact product quality. Use caution when opening to avoid cuts. Cap and bottle top may be sharp. www.ucc-america.com.
I hope that was interesting to all of you guys.
Please recycle.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. It's Mini Duels is the name of the company. If you're in the U.S., highly recommend them. Really nice, because what the difference is that most places that do movement trays, like unit trays like that, all the circles are separate. So you have 5 separate little circles to put your 5 guys in. This one is that there's like a big hole in the center that kind of has the round edges on the outside. So the 5 guys are really grouped tight together. And it's really great for shelf space. So if you don't have a shit ton of shelf space for your painted stuff, it works really well. I mean, movement-wise, they're the same as any of the other ones. I just like it because it's a shelf space issue. And they do the 40 and the 30s and the 25s, so... No arguments there, right, Steve?
They're a glorious company.
Well, I won't say glorious, but they're a decent company.
Wow.
Yeah, they sell them in packs of 5, which I find kind of weird.
Oh, but... I think we just have the similar design from the same companies, because the one I was saying, they're in packs of 1. You just buy however many you want.
Oh.
So it looks like we have different companies.
Ooh, I got the ones that were at Adepticon. So
mine were also at Adepticon.
Dun, dun,
quite
dun.
A mystery.
Also, I don't know if we mentioned this, but I know we talked about it a little bit on the cast, but Forgebane came out.
Yes, the Bane of Forges.
It was basically just released as a preview so you could get the Armiger Warglaives, which are mini titans.
Yep,
they suck in the game, so there you go.
Do they?
They're terrible from what everyone says. They're like, They're like just fast mini titans, and you think like, oh, this would be great for a support, but they cost like 250 points a piece, and they just explode. They explode on like you touch them and they explode.
I see.
Yeah, so they're not so great for what they do. Apparently, when they get actually released with the Titan Codex that's going to be coming out, they'll have another weapon sprue in there, so you don't have to use the Multimelta and Chain Sword. You'll probably get something else.
They're going to be in their own codex, so what they probably suck by themselves, but in their own codex, they'll probably
They might be a little bit better when you get the Knight Titan Codex. However, I just don't understand how people could play a fucking game with Knight Titans. Like, that's all you do. It's like, I have 3 Knight Titans and 4 Armagers. Like, that's going to be the most boring game in the world to play.
I don't know, man. People like Titans.
People do like Titans. Don't get me wrong. I like putting together and painting Titans, but playing with one seems like it'd be a miserable experience.
I guess I don't know. I'd have to see how they handle on the table. Like, because I mean, the current best list in 40K was 7 fucking Hive Tyrants, so you were already using like 5 models.
Yeah, but Hive Tyrants are smaller than Glatkin up there, so it's not like it's that crazy.
Yeah, I think like the smaller armies have been a thing in 40K for a while, but I mean, I don't see why all Titans would be any worse than all Hive Tyrants.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying like all, but I mean, it just sounds like it'd be miserable to play. Not that it wouldn't be effective. I'm just saying it sounds like it'd be miserable to play.
Oh, well, like, it seems like it. I think it'd be fun if they have a lot of guns.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah, as long as you get to do a lot
pew,
of things.
Pew, pew. So the Knight Titans actually, because I do own a Knight Titan, they move, all the pieces move on them. So like the waist moves and the arms move, and they can move up and down. The head moves.
So wait, you're telling me you have a figure that you get to push around, move, and aim and make noises with, and you say that's going to be boring?
But you can't. Maybe if you put it like the base on a little like a little RC car, so you can make it move forward.
Yes.
Because
hang on, got to do my movement phase. Just wheels forward.
That would be fun. I'm not gonna lie, that would be fun.
See,
until you hit like that one piece of terrain and it stops because
just falls over.
My model, my Titan, my Forge World money. No, that's plastic. It's not Forge World anymore. And then just out of the other new releases, they did the pricing release for the Deepkin. It's no different than most.
It's not too bad.
The 10-man box, though, I think is $50.
Yes, yeah. But they're also 14 points a model. So
yeah.
You're not exactly going to be doing a horde of them. I think though you're going to need 3 of those boxes. Like, I think if you're playing that army, you will need exactly 3 of those boxes.
Yeah.
And then the Reavers, I think you'll need 2.
Which ones are the Reavers?
They're the Thralls, but with archers in a different kit.
Okay. Yeah, and how many shark guys am I going to need? How many stupid shark guys?
I don't think you're going to use any shark guys. I think the shark's very good.
No, I hate that army so much. It's so ugly. It is such an ugly fucking army.
I disagree. I think the fish aesthetic is awesome. I love the giant guy on the wave. I think that guy's fucking amazing looking.
You know what, though? I was looking at it because I thought for sure. I mean, it's big. Don't get me wrong. That's a very tall model. But there is a Raka model that's like in that exact same pose, but done all in metal. So I'm not. He doesn't have the wave thing going on there. He
doesn't have the wave.
It's a big cloak or cape.
Look, he's got a new wave.
Malibu Stacy.
She's got a new hat.
There's certain things I like. I think it was a big mistake doing it as an elf army.
I love the ship.
Oh god, the fish terrain?
Yes, so good. People seem to have forgotten how they advertised that terrain coming. When they did, there was a preview
the ghost
video.
Ship, yeah.
There was a preview video that did a long time ago that just had that ship, and there was a goldfish in the tank with the ship. And they were like, it's coming. They're like, something stirs in the deep, and it was just a little goldfish swimming around with that ship in the tank. People forgot about that, but yeah, it's a fucking fish tank ship.
It is.
That's exactly the point.
It pisses me off so much because you could literally go to any pet store and just quickly move past the sad puppies and kitties that are kept there and go to the fish terrain.
It's about the same price because it's $40.
It's no way. You can get the. Let me.
As someone who has recently bought fish tank stuff, I can tell you that a nice sized fish tank boat is more than $40.
Okay. This is another one. Vamp, Steve. Vamp. Ooh, I got people watching my eBay bids.
Ooh, watchers. So everyone can listen to me while I am taking some Soul Stone Blue and slowly getting it on my brush here. And I'm going to be
putting it under my Eldar Champion's eyes. That's right, Eldar Champion's eyes. I hope you can enjoy it. This is a visual aid for our audio cast.
Yeah.
Here we go. This fish... this one is 6 centimeters long. How long is 6 centimeters?
Not very long.
It's 60 millimeters.
An inch is 2.54.
Yeah. Okay. So well, it's about 4. Okay. So yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah. It's very small.
It's very small. All right.
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's comparable. Like I've recently bought stuff for fish tanks. That stuff is not actually that cheap.
But this stuff, this fish tank stuff, is all pre-done.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So this one is 6 inches long. Yeah. It's a aquarium ornament resin Rex sailing boat, and it costs $6. And it is comparable to the Games Workshop one. I just it pisses me off. I just like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, there's a Navy boat. Ooh, you should put the Navy boat.
They're definitely a divisive army. I'll give you that. People are either they
as
really
angry
like
as
them,
me.
Either they really like them or they really hate them.
Be like, get that fish army off my table. I mean, I don't mind Games Workshop doing new things like that. I think it was a misstep. I don't think the sharks looked enough like sharks. I think they looked like giant like eels, which is kind of dumb to have people writing eels.
Well, there are eels as well as sharks.
But I mean, even the sharks look like eels. Like they just all kind of look like big spermies. And
nice.
They're all just floating around. The turtles look like turtles, which is fine. And like that's the only thing in the army that I'm kind of like, meh. But I also say, like, it's fine that it's out there. You're going to see terrible paint jobs on this army. This army, I don't think, is going to be very kind to amateur painters.
Probably not.
No, because there's certain armies that any person can paint and it'll look semi-decent. That is not one of them. Like, Stormcast, like, even the shittiest painters can paint a Stormcast army and it'll look decent. That army, that you have to be a pretty decent painter to paint that army.
Most likely.
Yeah. But that's not, you know, they'll probably show up in the new Shadespire because they want to cross promote them. You want to get your Deepkin. They're going to have those guys show up.
It'll be cool. I think that would be an interesting Shadespire faction. I don't know how they would do it because like they're similar to undead, I guess, because they're like their basic goons don't have souls. So they're like looking for souls.
Looking for souls. I swear your soul. I swear your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're deadites.
let's see. What else? I had some other stuff. What I got to start doing is, and I feel bad for our listeners, is that I'm going to start like a post on the week of that we're going to do a podcast. That just like, what do you want us to talk about? Because we'll look it up and I just feel bad because, you know, there's so much shit coming out.
We'll give our opinion on things.
Yeah. Well, how about that that Kickstarter for the...
The website?
The website.
That was the goofiest thing I think I've seen in a long time.
Someone was like, well, we should just
try it.
They wanted
to run a Kickstarter for a board game selling website. I was like, what?
What? What's going on?
That was pretty fucking out there.
Yeah.
You made $5.
Well, there you go. I want to do I'm going to start a GoFundMe for this. You know, just basically a Patreon. Is that maybe that's what it's better?
Patreon is when you... Patreon is... So a GoFundMe is you're asking for donations, period, flat. A Kickstarter is you're raising funds for a thing. So it's a one-shot amount of money and you're exchanging your thing. A Patreon is a subscription service that has reward tiers. So like if you have a Patreon, like if you paid, like I'll be like, so if I'm an artist on Patreon, I'll be like, if you pledge $20 a month, I do one personalized sketch for you a month.
Yeah. So we'd just be like, okay.
So those are the differences.
So I'd be like, here's a dollar. Here's the dollar pledge. You pledge a dollar a month for the podcast. And I'd be like, here is a $5 pledge. And if you do the $5 pledge, I'll send you a picture of Steve's anus. And once a month. It'll be the same.
Only $5? I want more than that.
Like someone's gonna give you $5 for a picture of your anus. No one even knows it's your anus.
We could just send them a mystery anus.
Mystery anus. Also, I want to send you on a mystery anus.
We'll send them
anus.
A picture of an anus, and they have to guess if it's my anus or your anus.
Your anus. That's funny.
Whose anus could it be?
Whose anus? Tabletop Gaming News has a banner for the new confrontation game coming out. Ooh. Are they actually going to make that happen? I don't know if they're going to make that happen. They're not going to make that happen.
Who fucking knows?
I think it's on Kickstarter right now. Who knows? I don't know. I'm still mad at Coolmini or not for not shipping me Black Plague or the Green Tide in time.
Well,
you didn't fill out this pledge. I was like, I fucking did. I'm like, no, not according to our records. And I'm like, well, fuck you guys. Jesus Christ. I'm on Kickstarter. You have my Kickstarter information. I gave you the money. Why do I have to fill out this other?
I've used Kickstarter before.
Yeah. It's like, why do I got to send you this other information? Like, you already have my information for the fact, like, it's only costs like $100 for this pledge level. I gave you $100. It's not like I'm going to do anything else with this $100. That's what I pledged. It says it right on the fucking Kickstarter. You get, yeah, it's holes. And they're like, we have to send it to all of our fans. I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit. I'm just going to sell it anyway.
That's right.
I'm just the whole plan is just I'm selling the exclusives. I don't want to deal with that game. make some money. That's what I did. So I had another.
Well, now they're doing the Alien one.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Whatever.
I'm going to give it a solid 2 thumbs down.
2 thumbs down. 3 thumbs down.
2 thumbs and a penis down.
2 thumbs and a penis. What about your big toe?
Big so toe you can remain stationary.
Oh, okay. So the big toe is undecided in the whole grand scheme of things.
Yes.
I did a Craigslist troll last night. Not a troll, but trawl. And I found a guy who's selling a big, huge box of 40K shit. Just absolutely for $60. And I ended up, through negotiation, because he was like, this other person's interested in it. And they got here first. I'm like, I'll give you $100 for it. And he's like, sold! Because I saw in the picture alone, there was 2 Land Raiders in there. And I'm like, well, that alone is worth like $120. So I'm already up on the deal just from that. So I got the box together. And there was like 4 full armies in there. I'm like, oh, well, this is just great on this. And I'm like, I'm going to sell all of this, make my money back, and then roll around in a big pile of money.
There was more to that story, though.
We think. Steve has a theory on this. So one of the things that I found in the box was a Grey Knight's army. There was about 40 figures in the army.
Some of them are sprayed bolt gun.
Some of them are sprayed bolt gun.
Washed blue ink.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Which was the standard way of people telling people how to paint a Grey Knight's army at the bunker. Or I should say in the Chicagoland area in the early 2000s.
Yep.
When these models were, or mid 2000s.
And then a receipt was discovered.
I found a receipt in there.
With a local purchase.
Yes.
From Games Workshop in 2004.
Yes, it was 2004. So it was at a place where I was working at the time.
I believe that Grey Knight army is the mythical Grey Knight. There were 2 mythical armies.
Steve believes that this is the remains of a...
The Grey Knight army.
An army... I'm sure that you guys have these armies that float around your local communities that are called cursed armies. Like, you don't know, you might not know it as a cursed army, but it is a cursed army. Is that an army that people buy thinking they're going to finish it? They never finish it. It always remains unfinished.
And then they sell it.
And then they sell it.
Yeah. The staff had one, which was the Elysian Drop Troops Forge World Army.
Yeah.
I think every staff member at some point in the local Games Workshop Chicagoland Metro had owned that army.
I owned it.
Everyone had it at one point.
Yeah. Steve did not have it.
I did not.
No.
I did not. I did not foolishly buy the Elysian Drop Troops
army. I wish I did, because now they're discontinuing the Drop Troops.
Yeah. Well,
they got discontinued.
Their planet got exploded.
Elysia got exploded?
I don't know.
Did it get devoured by Tyranids?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
You have about as much influence on the GW canon as most of the writers now for Black Library.
See?
It's like, you can't have this take place on Elysia. Elysia got exploded. When? This book, 3 books ago. Oh, no one's going to care.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll say it happened 4 years ago then.
Yeah. That's pretty much how they do their editing at Black Library at this point. Finished Mechanicum, by the way.
Mechanicum.
Yes. Mechanicum, not a terrible book. Not a good book either. just a lot of robot talk. A lot of people, like in the audiobook, everyone talks like this in the audiobook.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. exterminate. Heresy. Heresy, Will Robinson, heresy.
Everyone really wants to fuck that robot.
Everyone wants to fuck the robot from Lost in Space.
Yeah, the thirst for that robot is fucking real.
Ah, who knows?
I know. Twitter knows.
Steve thinks that the Grey Knight Army is the mythical Grey Knight Army that got passed around.
The bunker. There were so many people who would like buy that army, and then they'd negotiate a deal to sell it, and then it was at one of the bazaars. Like, I'm telling you, dude, it's that army. It's the exact same situation because no work has been done to it. It's exactly how it was when it was initially sold.
I don't know. There was two conversions that were done on it. The swords were replaced, or the halberds were replaced by thunder hammers.
Because they broke.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Okay.
Telling you, dude, it's that army.
I'm not saying it's not.
I have no way to prove it, and it's gonna taunt me to my grave.
You could buy it.
No.
It's on eBay right now.
I'm not going to get in on that curse.
So if you go on eBay and you look for Grey Knight Army, you could see the cursed Grey Knight Army.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Speaking of, Lost in Space is actually pretty decent, the one on Netflix. It's very family-friendly. So if you're looking for a family-friendly kind of adventure show.
I was watching Westworld. That's my family-friendly entertainment.
Yeah, Steve got into Westworld a year and a half after everybody else was into Westworld.
Well, that's exactly how I like to watch my shows. When it's totally done, people stop talking about it, I just watch
people
the whole
are talking
thing.
About it again because the new season starts this Sunday.
Well, when that season's finished, I'll watch that too.
Yeah. It's not a... It's a fun show. It's very well done.
That's what I said. I was like, when I finished it, I was like, that was one of the best shows I think I've ever watched. It's one of my favorite shows. And it explores absolutely no new territory.
No.
Like, not even remotely close. But just the presentation and quality is just so high.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's what does it mean to be human? Like, yeah.
Yeah, like the most overdone sci-fi trope in sci-fi tropes.
Yes. I always think that Spock is the best exploration of what it means to be human.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not judging what's best or what's not best. It's just like that is like the, like, if you have a show that has like sentient robots, that's probably going to be one of your fucking,
like, Battlestar Galactica
themes, right? Which is why I watched an anime recently called Plastic Memories, and I was like, ah, this is going to be one of those fucking things, isn't it? But it's not. It's actually about loss. It's not about any of, like,
is it about masturbating to anime titties?
No, not at all. I'm sorry. I can help you with that though, but Plastic Memories is not one of them.
Oh, okay. I don't need your help. Trust me, I know if I typed in anime titties.
Anime titties. Big ol' anime titties.
into the Google, I will get big ol' anime titties.
It's about there's the androids in this world are called Giftias, and they last 10 years.
Oh.
And the main character falls in love with his Giftia partner, and like it's well, yeah.
Is she a pillow as well?
No. Just they look like people. They look exactly like people. Yeah. But it's
she his waifu?
It's not a I was it gonna be one of those like, oh, is our love real? But it's like, no. It's just a sad story. Like, no one questions the humanity of the Giftias because like they have human emotion and memory. So like people are just like, no, they're basically people. Like everyone is just like, they've gotten past that point. So they're
that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So they're just like, yeah, no, they're people. And then like the story is more about like,
why do they only last 10 years?
The basically their cybernetic brain.
Yeah.
It breaks down.
Okay.
Like it can only last because they go into that because people don't want to give them up because like, for example, like one of them, it's a simulacrum of her daughter who died. So like she tries to get away.
Oh, that's sad.
The mental facilities break down and they go berserk. And they start freaking out and shit. So like they're one of the characters' backstories, like her father was replaced with a Giftia to take care of her by the state.
Oh.
And who became her new dad who raised her. And like she tried to run away with him. And like he went fucking berserk in a church and like they fucking gunned him down in front of her.
Gundam?
Gundam. So like that's.
Did he turn into a big spaceship?
No. Transformable Gundams were uncommon until arguably Gundam Zeta, which has the most transformable suits of any of the series, I believe, still to this day. the but yeah, so like that was and I liked that a lot, and I was like oh, they didn't really do too many, like, they didn't do any of the, like, the expected tropes. Nope, not there.
Well, and it's like the Lost, like, that, like, that's Lost in Space right now is like, oh, it's a robot, but is he human?
Yeah,
he's not like us, you know. Yeah. It's like, I like, you, do you remember the old Lost in Space? Did you ever watch the old 60s Lost in Space when you were a kid?
I'm sure I've seen an episode, but like,
the pain of it all.
Oh yes, the super gay scientist was amazing.
Dr. Smith, played, yes, by Jonathan Harris.
Oh, come with me, little boy.
You can cantankerous clanker, come with us. Oh, Mr. Robinson, I would so help with lifting up these boxes, but you know my back, it is in such a mess.
Besides, I want to watch you bend over and pick up the... I mean...
Don West. Mr. Donald West. It's like, and the funny thing is that I had a piano teacher when I was growing up who sounded just like Jonathan Harris, and I didn't realize it till I was much older. I was like, oh, my piano teacher was really gay, but it's okay. I mean, it's like I would have like totally accepted it, but it's like at the same time I'm like, oh, he just sounded like Jonathan Harris, that's cool, okay. But yeah, it's all well-tread territory about, like, it's Lost in Space is like science survival porn, which is one of those. There was a show just recently, like, it's not The Walking Dead, it's not a great example of it, but it's like where there's always like some disaster that, like, some sciencey disaster that the people have to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, the sun's gonna explode, how are we gonna get out of this one? Or, oh, there's a lake of lava, how are we gonna get past this lake of lava? It's its own genre and stuff, and it doesn't explore anything new, but it's family friendly, which I think is something that's a little refreshing, because I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my kid would like this, and I'm like, I can't think of many science fiction shows where I'd be like, oh, my kid would like this.
Yeah, other than like Star Trek.
Yeah, my kid would not like Star Trek. No, well, kids like
some kids like Star Trek.
Not many kids. Not 6-7 year olds do not like.
That's
Star
pretty
Trek.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like,
kids is also a pretty broad, like, range of ages.
Well, I mean, kids go all the way up to about 12 now, and then after 12 you have your, or I should say, like 10 to 12.
I'm trying to think of how old I was when I used to watch the Star Trek Next Generation reruns.
I was around like 10 to 12.
I think I was like 8.
10 to 12 is now tweens, so it's not even yeah, teens anymore.
I think I was 8 when I started.
Yeah, I was
watching
around 8. I was watching the original run and when I was about 8.
Cool robot.
Ooh, Data.
Yeah, cool robot.
Data.
Data.
Pulaski's trolling Data again.
Yep, that's right. Oh, you mean Data? That is not my name.
I liked Pulaski. People didn't like Pulaski. I liked Pulaski.
I liked Pulaski too. I liked her because she was kind of a bitch.
She was, and that was great. They needed more of that.
I agree.
TV
she
show.
Was she was smarmy. She was kind of a bitch. I liked her.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I like a sexy Beverly Crusher,
for sure.
Yeah,
that fiery redhead Beverly Crusher,
the original MILF.
Pulaski definitely had like I said, she had a lot going on. I liked Pulaski.
And plus, she was on the original series as well.
Was Pulaski in the original series?
She was the blind woman who falls in love with the really ugly alien that when people see it, they go insane.
That's awesome.
I think it's Eye of the Beholder, I think is what it was.
That was a popular name of for television programming in the 60s, huh? It's also the episode of the Twilight Zone.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking
of. With the
pig
noses.
Yeah.
With the piggy noses. Oh, she's hideous.
Maybe it's called By Any Other Name.
By Any Other Name.
Let me check. I know I'm doing a lot of... Yeah, I was right. It's By Any Other Name.
Mm.
Yeah, so they have an original Trek. Yeah, she was the blind woman who did that. Yeah, she was pretty good looking back in the day, too. I think she was on another episode,
too. She was
pretty
good looking in Next Generation.
Gilf.
No problem. No problem.
Do you ever think that it was like the biggest shame is that Shatner never showed up on the Next Generation? I mean, I know he showed up in Generations, the movie, but that we don't like to talk about that because it's such a bad movie.
I mean, the only official characters that showed up and were an event were Spock and Scotty.
Yeah, but when McCoy showed up at the beginning of the first episode,
but they never said who he was.
Well,
like you had to know. No, yeah. But you had to know because that's the only one who made it an event was Spock.
Well, Spock was huge because it was like the end of the season,
It was a huge story arc that carried over and like was super important.
Yeah,
Scotty was like a cameo, but he was the focus of the episode.
That was a great episode, though.
Oh, where they find him stuck in the transporter?
Yeah,
yeah, fantastic
episode. That's one of Relics is the name of the episode.
Oh, I had to do a little thing. So when's Captain Kirk and the Enterprise showing up? And they're like, Kirk, Enterprise? It's like, Scotty, what year do you
show
think it
me
is?
The bridge of the Enterprise? Not bloody A, B, C, or D. And they show up with the original Enterprise, which is I believe that's actually a fan recreation of the original set.
Oh, that's
that
cool.
Was used by like, you know how obsessive fans were with their fan films or whatever.
Sure.
I believe that's what it was like they had to borrow someone's set.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's an authentic recreation of the original bridge.
Not bloody A, B, C, or D. That's good. But yeah, no, it's me,
Scotty, Jimmy Doohan.
Fantastic episode. Yes, and that was good. But yeah, I think it was a shame that a lot of the old crew didn't. Show up.
I mean, it is 200 years in the future or 100 years in the future.
Right. They had to do a lot of like stuff to
100 years in the future.
That's why I like McCoy, because McCoy was fucking ancient. Like, he was super goddamn old and he still wouldn't ride in transporters.
But they never did a time travel episode.
They didn't.
Where they could have went back and met Kirk.
They could have easily done the old Enterprise warping into the future too.
Yeah.
And had the crew there.
Some like old ass Kirk sitting on the bridge.
Yeah. What year is it?
2170. Who knew?
Yeah, but I think it was good. I think it felt a lot more like a distant progression that way. So they didn't
I know, but I mean, it's Kirk. He's the main character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Generations was pretty bad.
I mean, we don't necessarily need Chekhov to show up.
Generations could have been so cool too.
Well, Generations was a clusterfuck of clusterfuck proportions.
Really, it really was. There was a lot of there's a huge story behind that movie, isn't there? Or was that First Contact? I don't remember.
Well, the problem about Generations, it was that Spock didn't and Nimoy didn't even want to deal with it because it was such a bad script.
Mm.
And the only reason why Kirk was getting in, it was like Shatner's big thing, was like, he's like, all right. So none of the other crew was in there. So it was just, I believe Scotty and Chekhov were the only other two characters from the original series who were in that.
Mm.
And Shatner wanted to be in it. Shatner made a shit ton of money because the horse riding scenes where he and Picard riding are actually Shatner's horses, which he which he rented to the studio so he could make a shit ton more money.
That's
off
awesome.
Of it. Yeah. And it's an awful script. Malcolm McDowell and like Whoopi Goldberg are like two huge focal points of that movie.
Really weirdly.
Yeah.
I mean,
the movie was bad. It was a bad movie.
They're fine, I guess. Like, Malcolm McDowell is fine as that character, but it's just like...
It's not as bad as Insurrection. Insurrection is the worst movie of all.
I actually liked Insurrection. I don't think Insurrection is worse than Generations. I think Generations is the worst Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would say
Insurrection at least was entertaining. Like, Insurrection has some good action
Insurrection
scenes.
Insurrection was a two-part TV episode.
I think if you're going to give Insurrection a specific crime, it's definitely that. There's nothing about Star Trek Insurrection that makes it seem like a movie.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter of The Next Generation, which from my perspective, I'm like, all right, like I'm down.
I want the majesty of cinema.
There is nothing grandiose about it. And that's why I think.
And that's why you don't get Two Takes Frank to do your.
Two Takes Franks. I first saw Insurrection at home.
Yeah.
On the small screen. And I think it works fine.
Yeah. Well, I saw
it in theater. I can see a lot of the complaints.
And that's why First Contact is so great, because it's very epic.
It's a
movie. Yeah.
It's a movie. First Contact's a movie.
Yeah, and then you have Nemesis with fucking...
Oh, Nemesis.
Nemesis is terrible.
Nemesis is bad. Nemesis is really bad.
Yeah.
I can't... Like I said, I'll defend Insurrection.
Shinzon.
I will not defend Nemesis. The worst part about Nemesis is it's a really shitty rehash of Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
But it's exceptionally shitty because their Khan character isn't even a villain from the show.
No.
It's just some random new guy they made up. Like, why is Q not in any of those fucking movies? If you're going to do Nemesis, why wouldn't it be Lore? Like, but Lore... They finish Lore's story in the show. So So, yeah, Nemesis is a fucking shit show for sure. And they were planning on Nemesis being huge. There was going to be more movies after Nemesis, but they fucked up.
Well, yeah, when, not to mention the fact that the whole Next Generation cast was all, like, podgy at that point. Yeah. They're all, like, you could see it in their faces.
Well,
like,
I mean, that happened with the original series, too.
Like, yeah, but the original series, they built it in. Like, the whole original series movies after 4... is, well, I should say even after 4, even 2, it's all about them getting older. Wrath of Khan is about the cast getting older.
Right.
And 3...
Khan!
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he gets the glasses for his birthday. And yeah. He's like, I would normally prescribe Retinox. I'm allergic to Retinox. I know. It's like, it's such a dumb line. But they...
But it's good.
Yeah. But they, yeah, so it's all about them getting old. And then 5 and 6 is definitely about them getting... 6 is about them, like, they're all going to go and die now. Yeah. They're all going to go off and die.
Yeah.
Because they're old at this point. I love 6. I think Undiscovered Country... 6 is... Yeah, 6 is Undiscovered Country is pretty amazing.
I've got another visual aid for the podcast. And you can... I want you to describe your emotions as I pull it out.
It's a cube. Is it the Borg cube? It's a large black box. If there's a severed head in this, I'm gonna be very upset. Oh, it's sliding open. Steve's having difficulty. That's a tight box. You okay there, Steve? Oh, is this for this is the RPG set, isn't it? Oh, I see the little drawers. So what he's doing is he's not opening the box. He's pulling out the DM screen. Now, see, is this the... It's not Mophidius. Who does this? It's Mophidius. Who... Oh, look at that. That's sexy. Oh, and it comes with all of the figures. Ooh, I thought you weren't going to get this.
Yeah, I got it.
How come you haven't painted any of the figures yet?
The thing about that is...
They're terrible figures?
No, the figures are really nice. I want to get them all first.
Okay. Now, the figures are... They have both original series and, like, next gen, right?
Yeah, so this came with all the figures in advance. So, like, I have these before the general release.
Oh.
There's a Romulan strike team, a Klingon strike team. There's the Next Generation crew and the original series crew.
Nice. Are the Romulans and Klingons original series or Next Generation?
They are Next Generation, okay, but as cool. You know, those are compatible with the original series because they retconned the Klingons in the movies.
Yeah.
So the and there's 3 exclusive models. There's Locutus, the Borg Queen, and Lore.
Ooh.
Yes, those are the exclusive minis that you can only get in the Borg Cube.
How is Lore any different than Data?
He is standing like this and holding Data's head.
He's the classic.
Yeah. So
one of the podcasts I listen to is a Star Trek podcast, and they always talk about how If you're a writer for Star Trek and you run out of ideas, you just go to Shakespeare and you just cop a Shakespeare line and throw it in there.
Yeah.
So it's like he's holding the head like Hamlet. Yeah, yep. That's how you did it. Star Trek. Yeah, done.
But yeah, no, I got the full thing. It's got drawers for all the one of the drawers is actually just pluck foam.
Oh.
Set up for you to put all the miniatures in after you paint them.
Is there going to be a miniature set of the Merry Men?
Hope so. the ones they've said they have announced so far that aren't out yet is the Borg. There's a Borg war band, and then there is going to be an original series crew and a Next Generation crew that are generic because the current ones are the characters.
The characters, yeah.
So like it's all the bridge crew.
So I can do my homemade Mary Sue character?
You certainly can.
Captain Joel of the SS Game Classic.
Actually, you can never be the captain.
Aww.
The game is from what I have to double check, but
Steve, look at me. I'm the captain.
I'm the captain now. The game is set up to be you can be bridge crew because the captain stays on the fucking ship.
No.
So
well,
I think a player.
What series has the captain ever stayed on the ship though?
Next Generation. Picard is usually on the ship. He goes down in diplomatic
missions.
Don't
you remember Insurrection? Or when he's flying around on the, fighting out the guy with the stretchy face?
Yeah, it was fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was fucking cool. And it has the best line delivery of all time where the guy goes,
yeah!
Do you remember? I love it.
So there's a fan theory that the reason why Picard acts so crazy in Insurrection and Nemesis is because that the mental degradation he shows at the end of this All Things, the last episode,
mm-hmm.
is finally caught up with him at that point. So that's why he's starting to go slowly insane, which is why he's running around punching people in Insurrection and Nemesis.
I can see that.
Yeah,
actually, that's not a bad. That's actually not a bad fan theory. Like, that's pretty legit.
Oh, well, so it's just a fan theory to explain why those movies are terrible.
I mean, I don't think that makes the movie worse or better, but, like, it explains why he's, like, kind of, like, why he's more aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that made sense the most was the Borg, because he fucking has, like,
that makes sense.
PTSD shit with the Borg, but, yeah. Like, the other ones, I could see that.
Yeah.
He's just more aggressive because he's...
But it doesn't explain why the Borg all of a sudden became super easy to kill in that movie.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Well... Didn't they say everything was fucking like fluctuating? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen that movie, yeah. But I do remember.
They kill a shit ton of this. Borg in that.
Assimilate this,
and then they killed the Borg Queen with the acid.
Was that before or after canonically when Janeway exploited the Borg's weakness?
It was after.
Okay, so that's why the Borg are easier to kill, because they're shittier. The Borg got it.
No, it would have been canonically before that, I believe.
Wait, is it?
Because
it got the Borg Queen, so I don't actually know.
Because I believe at that point, let's see. Worf would have been on Deep Space Nine.
He was. He was specifically on Deep Space Nine because when he's late for something, Picard's like, I don't know how they handled it on that space station of yours, but here we still have a schedule to keep.
Because he fights him with the Defiant, and Defiant came in what, season three or four?
It was four, I think.
Season four, which means that...
Janeway was gone by that point.
But Janeway had also... So let's say 7 years that they were in the Delta Quadrant.
Right. Because they exploited that Borg thing at the very end of Voyager.
Yeah, because Janeway shows up in Nemesis as the Admiral. So Nemesis at least takes place 7 years after...
First Contact.
First Contact would have been four years. So it would have been
three or 4 years after First Contact. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so it wouldn't... So maybe.
Maybe.
Also,
the Borg are weaker when they're isolated from the collective, since it's just them. Yeah. So that's the only...
Sorry, guys. We got really deep into this.
That's the only other thing I could think
we
of.
We don't normally do this on the podcast, but Steve and I actually had like a real... We're like really like, wait a second, hold on here.
Yeah, let's figure this out. Let's solve this mystery.
All right. Do we have any other things to talk about?
The Citadel pain handle is actually really nice.
I hate that butt plug.
I love it. I love the butt plug.
You love the butt plug. I do not.
It's very useful. It's just a really fucking fancy-wancy piece of cork.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I don't even use cork.
Well, that's because you're weird.
I just bounce everything on the tip of my penis.
Well, I normally don't paint single models at a time.
Yeah.
So, like, using these is kind of, like, alien to me. But since I've been doing these competition models, I've actually had use for it. And was like, oh, I can just stick the model in here. That's nice.
Steve's doing competition painting, which I don't agree with.
Feel the wrath of my Eldar.
Ugh, I hate Eldar.
Yes.
That's why I play 30. You know why I play 30K?
No Eldar?
Aliens. No Eldar. No Tau. No Orcs. Nothing. The Orcs are like, can we come play with you guys? No.
Is it really just Marines?
It's Marines and Guard. Marines, Guard, and Adeptus Mechanicus. That's it.
That's so lame.
No, it's amazing because you don't have to deal with any of that nonsense. There's like four rule books. That's it.
How can you have a 40K game without even Orcs?
It's not a 40K game. It's a 30K game.
Oh, you got me.
There you go. And the fact that it's like the game is slowly dying, because I think the guy that was designing all the rules for it died.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about what happened with the Forge World? They did a bunch of Space Wolf Terminators, and people got really upset about them because of how badly they were sculpted.
Oh, yeah.
They were, you know,
I didn't hear that
it's
story.
Forge World, so you expect them to have like a higher level. But apparently, like the wolf pelts that were on them were just like flat. Like, with, like, a tiny bit of, like, detail on it.
Yikes.
There was no, like, handles to the bolters, so it just looked like the guy had a fist, and the gun was put, like, just on top of it.
Huh.
So there was, like, you couldn't see, like, a handle or the trigger or anything like that. The sights were upside down on the gun,
Jesus.
So the sights were on the bottom. And people got really, really...
I mean, I would be mad.
Well, especially because they cost, like, 80
right.
bucks for
them. Like, if you're going to do Forge World prices for something that sounds like bootleg models.
Yeah. And you're like, oof. Ooh, that's not good. So I guess that sculptor got a he quit in a or moved on to greener pastures, I think is what they said.
Fair enough.
But then they released his Alpharius model. He did the Primarch Alpharius, and it's actually a pretty sweet looking model. But it's just like, oh well, there you go. So they're saying there's a rumor that Horus Heresy may be dead because that guy is dead as well. But who knows? Games Workshop's not gonna kill a cash cow like that. Mm. I still like it that you go online and there's people who are like, no one plays 40K in my community. We only play 30K. I'm like, what's your community? Like five guys it's and you two, all jerk each other off?
It's him and two other guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? All right, so go to PlanetArbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Commandthrow.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, subscribe on iTunes. You can also watch us on the YouTube, where you can also like, comment, and subscribe. I really don't know why, but you can. I don't think I put the last episode up on YouTube now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, man, you'll have to get this one and the last one up.
No.
And I'm going to put I actually did record another episode of Weebtown. I got to get up on there as well.
Yeah. I don't put stuff up on YouTube every once in a while just so people can get like angry. Like, where's episode 155? Where is it? I'm like, I'm not telling you.
Where is it, Precious?
It's like that time when I put like six episodes up on my own private YouTube account.
Yes.
Not private, but I mean, just my own YouTube account. And I was like, why are they song capping me on this? I'm like, oh, that's not the Game Classy one.
Whoops.
Whoops. And you can also listen to our sister podcast. We have Play On Podcast, which is all about video gaming. Steve and Pat are going to talk about how to use cardboard in your video games. The Labo, I believe it's called.
Yes, that is the Nintendo Labo.
The stupidest thing known to mankind.
I mean, it is for little children.
It is the dumbest. I'm not going to let my kids play with cardboard.
I wouldn't do it either. I'm just saying it is designed for literal children.
I give Nintendo props for just coming up and doing with some weird stuff that normal people don't necessarily are going to expect them to do. It may hit. It may not hit. More than likely, this is going to be a big epic failure.
A shit ton of people are talking about it, and it seems to be successful already, though. So
I'm usually a pretty good indicator when it comes to what's going to be successful in video gaming. I don't follow video gaming, but I do know that which I think makes me better at knowing what's going to be successful at video games because I'm just like. I'm the average Joe.
Didn't you say that the Switch was going to fail, though? And the Switch is like the biggest successful console.
The Wii U was going to fail. Mm, that was the one. The Switch, my problem is that with the Switch was that it's just the only reason why it's so successful is because they're just putting out Zelda and Mario games that are successful. It's really the only reason.
It was successful before there was a Mario game on it.
Well, and they're going to put Smash Brothers on it, which is... what everybody is
that's gonna be crazy.
I mean, when all you rely is on your basic properties, like your two basic
properties.
When
you actually put your basic properties on your system, they sell? Shocker.
Yeah, shocker. I mean, and the thing is they're not doing anything new with a lot of these properties. They're just like, hey, here's Legend of Zelda in an open world.
There's actually a lot of games coming out for it that I was kind of surprised by. Like, it's getting Dark Souls and shit. Yeah. I was like, huh.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, here's Zelda in an open world. Well, oh, boy, if I could only play open world in any other game.
The other big thing that this console has that the other ones didn't is...
the portability.
It has... Well, not just that. I mean, no, specifically Nintendo consoles is, like, this one can actually get most of the games that are coming out now.
Yeah.
So, like again, Dark Souls Remastered is coming out. It's coming out for PS4, Xbox... and Switch.
Yeah.
Like, that was never the case with the Wii U, and I think that was one of the biggest problems with it, because it's like, oh, this cool game's coming out. You can get it if you have two-thirds of the consoles, but you can't get it if you have the Nintendo one. It's like,
when my son's a little bit older and we don't have to take so much care of him, I'm probably going to end up buying a Wii U.
I love the Wii U. It's fun.
I thought you sold your Wii U.
I did.
Oh, okay. I was going to... Yeah,
I sold all my Nintendo shit.
Yeah, I'll get whatever the next...
I kept the 3DS. That was all I kept.
I'll either get the Wii U or whatever the next generation console is, just for my wife.
But what about the PS5?
The PS4 is kind of dumb. I kind of want to get the new God of War, though, because I really like the God of War games.
Then you're going to really like this one. You're going to really like this one.
Yeah. Everyone's saying it's great.
It's like... if thus far the God of War fans I know all seem to really like it. So,
well, I mean, I just like the mindless hack and slash of the first three and the big visual epics, like the big visual styles.
You're gonna really like that game.
But I hear you play as like a little wiener kid throughout most of it.
You have a little wiener kid with you. He's your like goon. It's just like Last of Us.
Oh, okay. I like that Last of Us.
Yeah, Last of Us was really good.
That was a fun game.
Yeah.
Except at the end when you're running around with like 8,000 guns and you're just like, well, this kind of defeats the whole purpose of this game. Okay. I did the first few stages where you're like, oh my God, I have two bullets and I have to go up against all of these monsters. How am I going to do this?
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yes.
And then at the end of the game, you're running around with a flamethrower, Steve. You have a flamethrower.
It's true. But I was playing on a harder difficulty, so if you tried to run in guns blazing, you died anyway.
Yeah.
The last area, the last sequence was actually so difficult for me, I just had to run. I just was like, I'll make it to the cutscene. And that's what I did. I just ran until I got to the cutscene, and I was like, yes. I circumvented the challenge.
Hey, no. You beat the challenge in your own way.
That's true. I did not cheat. I overcame the challenge. That was always the argument for D&D. It's like, but we overcame the challenge, but you didn't fight it. But I overcame the challenge. which is why I'm actually the biggest fan of the, and I feel that it's actually the most superior XP system, is Lamentations of Flame Princess uses it, and it's just the old D&D experience system. And the way that experience system works is you get XP equal to the treasure you bring home.
Eh.
Period. That's what experience points is. Doesn't matter what you fight. So if you fight a dragon and kill it, sweet. You're going to get an awesome reward because dragon hordes are fucking loaded with money. If you kill like a million rats, you don't gain anything because they're just fucking rats. But if you find a treasure chest with 1,000 gold in it, everyone gets 1,000 XP. Like, it's fucking flawless. It's the best way to do it.
And when you level up, you hear...
And you spin your sword over your head. Yeah, no, that's I love that system. It's so elegant, and it takes so much work away from the fucking... Like,
DM.
Oh, you guys fought 6 goblins and 3 orcs, and you killed them all. So you get this much XP. It's just... It's so much easier to be like, what treasure did you get? Oh, you got 500 silver. Cool, 500 XP.
You could also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, which is Pat takes a look at all the little kid TV shows.
The last episode was Barbie, Life in the Dream House.
Life in the Dream House.
Apparently was quite a blowout because everyone enjoyed the show, I guess.
Life in the Dream House is a fun show. Penny watches it all the time.
Everyone's like, oh, it's just good.
Yeah, it's not a bad show. It's very, very meta, which is fun. The only more meta I could have got is if they discussed how the fact that they have no genitals, but they never go that far.
I see.
Then you also have, Comic Book Logic, which we'll be making a comeback soon. We also have, Weeb Town, which as Steve mentioned, has a new episode that's going to be coming up on YouTube.
We'll be loading that up, probably Monday.
Yeah. Where Steve and Young Giuseppe played Dragon Ball.
No, we actually played Nitro Plus Blasters, Heroines Infinite Duel.
That's, you just keep on making up these names. They're not real games.
Hey, the best name is still Undernight Inbirth ES Late Ext.
Yeah, see, it's not real. You say it's real, but it's not real. All right, so Steve, until next time.
Not real food. Do not eat.
Game Classy.